After a marathon hearing last night that ended without a vote, the House Judiciary Committee made its final decision this morning on articles of impeachment.
Today is a solemn and sad day. For the third time in a little over a century and a half, the House Judiciary Committee has voted articles of impeachment against the president for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The House will act expeditiously.
That's Jerry Nadler, a Democratic representative from New York and chair of the House Judiciary Committee, delivering the news to reporters about the vote. The decision today makes President Trump the fourth president in U.S. history to face a possible impeachment. The vote was along a party line, Democrats voting unanimously to pass both counts, Republicans all voting against the articles. Scott Wong is a senior staff writer for The Hill covering House leadership. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back with you, Rob.
Well, it's an unusual time on Capitol Hill. What's the feeling there after this vote this morning, really kicking this impeachment process into high gear?
Well, a lot of bad feelings. And, and we've seen that for the past several weeks between Democrats and Republicans as this impeachment process has gone on. That being said, I think there were no surprises here. I think we all knew that this was heading towards this type of finish at the end of the year. The House of Representatives on Wednesday, it looks like it will formally bring these articles of impeachment to the House floor and vote on them. There are two articles, as we know, abuse of power and obstruction of justice. And much like it was on the Judiciary Committee votes today, this will, for the most part, be a party line vote. We are not expecting any defections from the Republicans. Everybody is lining up behind President Trump and the Republican Party. We are expecting only a handful of defections from the Democrats who will be voting no against some of these articles of impeachment.
Let's take a quick look at both of those charges we heard here on Wisconsin Public Radio, the actual hearings over time, and then the back and forth yesterday. Abuse of power, sum up that charge for us.
Yeah, I think the abuse of power and this goes to the broader debate over what these articles of impeachment should have looked like. There was a lot of debate about whether you go big or you keep it narrowly focused in recent weeks. And Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats decided to keep it narrowly focused to the Ukraine matter. And so abuse of power has to do with this idea, this charge by Democrats that the president was using the power of the presidency to solicit interference from Ukraine in the 2020 upcoming election by withholding aid and withholding a visit to the White House to the Ukrainians. And so that really is what the abuse of power charge looks like. The second charge is obstruction of Congress, and that simply speaks to the president's assertion that no one from his administration was to cooperate with the Democratic impeachment investigation. And we saw, for the most part, many of the White House officials and many of his cabinet members, like Mike Pompeo, like Mick Mulvaney, the White House chief of staff, not agreeing to testify or provide documents to the Democrats. On the other hand, you did see a number of career Foreign Service and intelligence officials come before the public hearings and also sit before in private depositions and take part in this impeachment process.
In addition to the substance of the two charges, the two articles of impeachment, there's been a lot of argument over process, including late last night, Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee not pleased about closing debate without a vote last night, waiting till this morning. Here's a listen, starting off with House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler again.
I want the members on both sides of the aisle to think about what has happened over these last 2 days and to search their consciences before we cast our final votes. Therefore, the committee will now stand in recess until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., at which point I will move to divide the question so that each of us may have the opportunity to cast up or down votes on each of the articles of impeachment and to let history be our judge. The committee is in recess.
Chairman, Mr. Chairman. There was no consulting from the minority ranking member on your schedule for tomorrow, in which you just blown up schedules for everyone. You chose not to consult the ranking member on a schedule issue of this magnitude.
So typical.
This is the kangaroo court that we're talking about.
Closing there with Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee, including ranking member Doug Collins of Georgia. Talk about that moment, Scott.
Sure. There were a lot of gasps in the room. People had expected that the vote would be held last night, or actually earlier in the evening around 5 o'clock, because a lot of the Republican lawmakers wanted to get to the White House Christmas party hosted by President Trump that he does every year for lawmakers. But in fact, Republicans continued to offer amendment after amendment. Those amendments, which were all voted down because Republicans are not in control of the majority, but those amendments, everyone had 5 minutes to speak on it, and so it just went later and later into the night. Finally, Jerry Nadler, the Democratic chairman of Judiciary, made a determination with his team that rather than try to hold these votes in the dead of night, that he would just adjourn for the day and do it in the morning. Once they made that decision, they voted very quickly right after 10 o'clock Eastern and passed those articles on party line votes. But again, it just sort of goes back to this idea that impeachment really has torn the Congress apart and divided the government right before the holidays.
Talking to Scott Wong, senior staff writer for The Hill, looking at the latest in the impeachment process. The impeachment is likely, as you were saying, going to pass the House, but then there's the Senate where the trial would actually be heard. Senate Republicans saying it's probably not going to go very far. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had this to say on Fox's Sean Hannity show about the proceedings.
And everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this to the extent that we can. We don't have the kind of ball control on this that a typical issue, for example, comes over for the House. If I don't like it, we don't take it up. We have no choice but to take it up. But we'll be working through this process, hopefully in a fairly short period of time, in total coordination with the White House counsel's office and the people who are representing the president in the well of the Senate.
There's been criticism from Democrats there, Scott, saying, wait a minute, the Senate is in effect the jury for the president, and they're consulting, they say, very in total coordination, he said there, with the White House.
Exactly right, and it's spurred criticism from progressives like Pramila Jayapal in the House of Representatives, who has called for Mitch McConnell to recuse himself in light of some of those comments. But obviously, this is a political process, and this is why the president has wanted the impeachment process to move quickly through the House and head to the Senate, where he will be on much more favorable terrain. And what Mitch McConnell has said, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, he said there is zero chance that the president is going to be removed from office. And so, this cake is sort of baked already, although it's going to be a very interesting trial and certainly a historic one. We haven't seen one of these in two decades, not since Bill Clinton. So people in the Capitol are still very eager and interested to tune in to this Senate trial. There are a number of questions that are still up in the air at this point, including whether witnesses will be called to testify in this trial, whom those witnesses might be. Really, President Trump is calling the shots here, him and his White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, who has been coordinating very closely with the Senate Republicans. And they are hashing some of those questions out as we speak.
With this being an election year coming up, 2020 elections, a lot of people seem pretty sure they know exactly what the political impact of these impeachment proceedings is going to be. It's going to be devastating for the Democrats. It's going to hurt President Trump. Is there any way to tell at this point what this is going to mean come Election Day?
I don't think so, especially since people tend to especially under this president, there seems to be so many controversies. I remember before the 2018 election, everyone thought the government shutdown was going to be a huge factor in the outcome of the 2018 election. And so much had happened since then that nobody really was talking about the government shutdown by the time the election rolled around. And so what we're seeing right now is from the very vulnerable House Democrats who who are freshmen who won races last year or unseated Republican incumbents, they are, for the most part, rallying behind this impeachment effort. A number of them, including Tom O'Halloran of Arizona, Connor Lamb of Pennsylvania, Max Rose of New York, came out with statements to just today saying that they will be voting for these two articles of impeachment. Yes, they will be pummeled on the airwaves over this impeachment vote. Republicans think this is a very good issue for them, and so they are spending a lot of money on TV and Facebook ads hammering these Democrats. But these Democrats are pointing to other work that they are getting accomplished, including passing prescription drug bill this past week, getting key provisions in the Defense Authorization Act. The House will be voting on the USMCA trade bill, which both the White House and these moderate Democrats will be touting. And so, you know, it's still, like you said, it remains to be seen what the overall impact will be from this impeachment process.
As we wrap up, Scott, what are the key moments to watch for next week?
Well, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a split screen. The key votes that will be happening at the end of at this end of the year pile up will be preventing a government shutdown, the impeachment of President Trump, and then finally the passage of the USMCA in the House. And so what Democrats have done is they have sandwiched essentially the impeachment on Wednesday in between government funding and this bipartisan trade deal, and in hopes of sort of they don't want the last vote of the year to end on impeachment and to play Scrooge and leave a bitter taste in people in Americans' mouths right before the holidays. And so the last vote of the year, it looks like, will be on this bipartisan historic trade deal, North American trade deal, that both the White House will be celebrating as well as moderate Democrats.
Scott, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Scott Wong with The Hill. He covers House leadership there. He joined us for a look at the impeachment vote in the House Judiciary Committee and what happens next.